I and the Father are one is a very uplifting and inspirational phrase that many of us have used. The Master said it, but the Master didn't just say it. The Master lived it. The Master practiced it, and the Master demonstrated the meaning of it by showing that oneness always externalizes as harmony, perfection. Now, when you say, I and the Father are one, you might as well go the rest of the way if you want that phrase to be meaningful for you. The Father is invisible. The Father is non-physical. And so I and the non-physical Father are one. I and the invisible Father are one. What does that make me? This I that I'm supposed to be, am I physical and visible while the Father is invisible and non-physical, and yet we are one? No, I'm saying we're one while I am accepting that I'm not one with the Father at all. If I still believe that I am a visible being in a physical form. When Jesus said, I and the Father are one, he was revealing that he was living in the soul body which is invisible. And he was not a visible being, and he was not a physical being. That was the revelation of I and the Father are one. Now we know life begins in God. If it doesn't, we don't have life. But God is the beginning and the end. The life that begins in God never gets outside of God. Your life begins in God, but it never gets outside of God. It's always invisible and non-physical. And therefore, in order to experience the healing grace, you must be that life of God which never gets outside of God, which is invisible and non-physical. And that acceptance of yourself is Christ consciousness. I am invisible being. The Father is invisible being. And I and the Father are that one invisible being. God never becomes less than God. The life of God never becomes less than or other than itself. And for the law of spirit to function in your being, you must be spiritual being. Now, we've all looked for the power, the presence, and the mind of God, but you won't find it in the world. You will only find it in spirit. You will only find it in that universe which is made of the Spirit of God, for there is no other. We have all, in some measure, made up our own teaching. We haven't quite approved of the Christ teaching, and we haven't, if you get down to facts, we haven't really had faith in God. We have been able to make statements, but to have faith in God means to accept that God is what the Bible tells us God is. And to have faith in God then must mean that I have faith that wherever God is, the power of God is functioning. Wherever God is, the mind of God is functioning. And therefore, if God is where I stand, the power of God must be here functioning. And the moment I accept the power of evil, the power of error, the power of anything other than the power of God, I am not having faith in God at all. I am not even believing in God's presence. And I am falling into the error of believing that God is almighty only upstairs, but not downstairs. I have faith in a God far away, but I have no faith in the God on earth. I have no faith that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And yet if I did have such faith, I would have to say, God being everywhere present, right here, God's presence means God's living power, and there is nothing to push that power aside. This error must be the same mental illusion that shows forth a leper, or a storm at sea, or a lack or limitation. They cannot exist here because the power of God alone is here. And then you see, you're accepting the invisible power of God as being present. You're accepting the infinite force. Now suppose somebody says to you, your child is drowning in Herbert Fitch's swimming pool. If you know I don't have a swimming pool, you know your child is safe. You don't have to worry about that child drowning in Herbert Fitch's swimming pool. He doesn't have one. Now, when someone tells you there's an error, they're telling you the same kind of thing. They're telling you that someone is making a mistake in God's kingdom. There can't be a mistake in God's kingdom, and therefore no mistake is possible. There can't be a mistake where God is present, and God is present everywhere, and therefore there can be no mistake. There can't be an error or an evil where God is, and God is everywhere, and therefore the error or the evil cannot be there. You don't have to worry about the nature of it. It is the denial of the presence of God. And if you have accepted the infinite force of God everywhere, what's the difference how many denials appear in the world? They're nothing to you. The infinite force of God is everywhere, and its opposite cannot be there, because that infinite force is the only power. And nothing can stop it from maintaining its perfection everywhere. So you can finally rest back in the infinite force. It is yourself. It is everywhere. It is invisible. But it is the only presence. And it is being itself everywhere now. Something in you turns, changes. And this is the change of consciousness that you saw in the leper. He first worshipped. He then said, if thou wilt, thou canst. And this change of consciousness brought forth, I will be thou cleansed. So it is in us, as we accept the presence of the invisible Father, we accept the qualities of the invisible Father, and now we have omnipotence as one of the qualities of the invisible force. Our function is to hold in consciousness to this, no matter what we see. Now, all of you who have called me from time to time and have said, I hurt, or I this, or I that, if you could have called me with a knowledge that in spite of the fact that you hurt, God is where you are, this would be the opening that the leper gave to Christ Jesus. When the leper said, when it is said that he worshipped him, that is the same as you recognizing that where you are is God. Even though you're suffering, you're willing to accept that God is where you are. Then I can assure you, Even before you pick up the telephone sometimes, you find you are feeling better. Because it's the acceptance of God where you are, which is opening your consciousness to the presence and its power where you are. When we call a man or a woman to help us without the knowledge that we are really seeking the presence of God and that it is right where we are, we may get our healing. Some of you have. But you'll find that your karma still remains. And sometimes the accumulated karma of centuries just doesn't give way until there is a total turning of consciousness to the acceptance that it matters not what I suffer from here where I stand. God has to be. And all I'm really suffering from is my inability to reach the knowledge that God is where I stand. That's all we can suffer from. The separation from that presence of God which never goes away. Do you see how we can help each other in the healing work? When we are open to the knowledge that even this pain will not convince me that God has gone somewhere. It is my consciousness that still has a sense of mortality. Still has a belief that I am visible, physical being. I'm still living in the external effects. I have not yet accepted God. I have not yet accepted that God's universe is all spirit. And you see, that's lack of faith in God. We all have it. There is something in us that still does not accept God on God's terms, that I am spirit and beside me there is no other. All of Judaism was completely unaware that God is spirit and beside God there is no other. While they were boasting there is one God, they didn't know that only God is. And all of the New Testament is to repair that error. There's not only one God, only God is. And therefore, who's hurting? In the acceptance of a hurt, you're saying that there's another beside God, you. And you're not accepting spiritual identity. Now, the halfway place is where you accept spiritual identity, even though you hurt. And that is how you turn and fall on your knees before spirit, before Christ in you. You're like Jacob. The intruder, the idea of hurting, the mortal mind which says to you, God isn't here, you have a problem, you must wrestle with it. You must face it and not let it go until it blesses you, until you can, by knowing, I, Spirit, am. And the infinite force of Spirit is always present where I am. There is no one in the universe can push it away. It is omnipresent. That infinite force which is omnipresent is here, and this is where I will find it, right here, now. Where is it? It is I. It is my being. That's where I will find it. Now you're out of duality. There's not a human finding it. There's a human discovering there's no human there, there's only I, the infinite force. And now the Father is glorifying the Father where you stand. Christ liveth your life. That's the purpose of this class, to come to the realization that the infinite force I am. And there is no other. For it is that realization that builds the invisible body of the soul. It is that realization that single-handedly removes the thorns in the side. Those thorns remain for quite a while. They remain until the shadow of turning called mortal self is dropped from your belief. I and the Father are invisible, non-physical beings. And finally, the Father being the infinite force, and I are one and the same. Where is love? It's in the infinite force, right where you are. Where is security? In the infinite force. Where is life eternal? In the infinite force, right where you are. There is nothing external to the infinite force right where you are. It is self-contained, self-fulfilling, self-expressing unto eternity, and all law is in the law of the infinite force that you are. You don't seek it. You don't knock for it. You don't ask for it. You are it. The other day, I felt a draft at the window. I'd often wondered, where do you really feel that draft? Where you are? Or is there something in you external to yourself that feels that draft right at the window? And after a bit of work on this, especially after having thought about it for a number of years, you realize that you are picking up the draft at the window. You have a mind right there which picks it up and then transmits to this brain here what the mind is experiencing at the window. It's as if the body were inside a larger mind, and you'll find your mind is larger than your body and not encased within it. That same mind is picking up things all around the universe that you think are happening to you here. But that mind is picking them up there and relaying them to the brain here. When you start building this way, out into that mind, you will feel a different level of consciousness which is not contained within the form. It won't be a little brain looking out. It'll be a you, that is that mind out there, picking up your data, your impressions in the world, sending them back to this. And as you rest out there, the meaning of be still and know that I am God takes a different significance. Be still out there. And as you're still in the mind out there, there's no place for world thought to go. And so as I practice this, not being still here alone, but out there, you find that this inner self here is insulated against world thought. It's like you took a glass dome and put it over you, and nothing could touch you. This outer mind becomes the place where you're still, not here, in the brain alone. And that takes you out of the senses for a while. It's a step toward being even released from the outer brain, outer mind, into the infinite. But it does take you out of the body. And you find that just as you rest in that outer mind, knowing that whatever it receives, it sends to this body, if you could turn it around and reverse it, just as it brings you the moon, it can take you to the moon. Just as it takes distant places into you, it can take you to those distant places. When you turn ye. Now, this isn't words anymore. It's something, though, that must be practiced. And the way I found to practice it is this. You're sitting in a room and you're realizing that whatever happens in that room is happening in your mind. And your mind is as large as that room. And all of the room is in your mind. When you hear a person speak, You're not hearing them in your ears first. You're right there where their mouth seems to be. That's where your mind is. And that's where you hear it and relay it to the ear. And I had an immediate opportunity to practice this in a strange way. I want to tell you how it fell into place so you can see the advantage of knowing that what you experience where the form is experienced first by your mind outside of your form and almost instantaneously right in the body where the brain is. Playing with this a while, you feel a strange freedom, an unattachment, because you're lifted out of the physical self into the mental self. And you rest in that mental self knowing, whatever I see, I don't see from where I stand, I see it where it happens. And then transmit that which I see where it happens to where I'm standing. My mind is out there, experiencing it right where it happens and sending it back home to this form. And therefore, if I see error out there, the place to deny it is not here where the body is, but out there where the mind is receiving it. A very strange way to heal, isn't it? And so your call comes, and it's someone far away. Now, up to that moment, you may have been practicing that somebody was phoning you. But you see, nobody's really phoning you at all. Your mind is picking that up right where the individual is, and your mind is contacting you here. Then, if you will shut your mind there on the scene of the error, not where your body is, but where the error is taking place, it is only an error in your mind there. And if you will not let your mind there believe it, you can release the error instantly. Try it. If you get the feel of it, you'll be quite amazed. So this particular night, that's what happened. It just fell into place that, why, that isn't somebody phoning at all. That's my mind there calling me here. Be still meant the mind there be still. And it was. That was it. There wasn't anything else to do. Now try it. You'll find that the deeper you go into the healing work, the more amazed you are by the things that come to you. Build this outer insulation, knowing that if my outer mind, which is everywhere, which is picking up things like an antenna, can be still, then world mind has no place in me. No place. Because the only error that's visible to you is through the mind that God didn't create. And if that mind is still out there, you'll discover that world mind has no place in you. Your vacuum isn't just the vacuum in the skull. It's a vacuum much, much larger than you would ever estimate it. It becomes a cosmic vacuum. And that awakens you from the cosmic sleep, which Jesus revealed. Now, we may have one foot out of the visible pretty well now. Those of you who can practice these things will find that infinite force is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. And that is the name we have been giving to God. God is that infinite force. That infinite force is God. And because it is that from which all things are imagined, if you rest in it, in your consciousness, firmly turning away all external belief, you will find that infinite force will express itself as the full harmony of being. There is not an infinite force and your friend. There is not an infinite force and you. There is infinite force, and there is nothing else. And the one who accepts himself to be that infinite force rejects everything else that is finite, limited, temporary, transient, subject to change. That infinite force never changes, and it is the only reality of this universe. When you identify with it, you have found Christ. Now, I'd like to feel that people can come to you and you will identify them as the infinite force in your consciousness, having lived in that awareness long before they come to you. And that you can go anywhere in the world as that living infinite force, knowing that no matter where you go, that is all that exists and is all that ever has existed and all that ever will exist. Its name is God. Its name is any name you care to give it. But if it's your consciousness, then you have nothing more to ask, because that is asking in my name. If it's in your consciousness, then you are fulfilling the very meaning of this first chapter of Joel's in Contemplative Life. What good is God? What good is the infinite force? What good is omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience if you have no conscious awareness of them? They are all around us, but they can only function in the consciousness that is aware of them. Day in, day out, without ceasing to be conscious that the infinite force is all there is, will bring to you its activity. Now, when you read this first chapter, and some of you probably did, you saw that the purpose of all this work is to build the consciousness of spirit. Spirit is that infinite force. And you were told to acknowledge it, to praise it, to consciously be aware of it at all times, to do everything within your power to keep the word of consciousness alive within you. You may have seen in the Orientals how they seem to be just praising God without rhyme or reason all the time. Well, the reason is that you've got to keep conscious of the presence of God for the presence of God to be functioning in your experience. You may start inventing all kinds of little ways to remain conscious of the presence of God, because that's the lifeline to the infinite. Praise and thanksgiving unto the Father. Break out in song. Rejoice. Always, every moment in which you are conscious of God's presence as the infinite force of your very being, is a dedication to your own eternal life. And the moment you can be persuaded to drop that, then you are not praying without ceasing. You are breaking the lifeline of reality. You are stepping into another personality at that moment, and you are inviting the karma of the world to make you a target once more. Now, there have been a number of things said in this meeting then that should take us a little deeper, free us a little more, They all depend on things falling into your individual groove of understanding. When you do, change the words if you wish. It doesn't matter what the words are. But build that place which is so holy that no matter what the world tempts you to believe, you cannot be drawn out of that holy place where the only reality for you is the perfect infinite force that the world calls God. Then 10,000 can fall at your right and 1,000 at your left. It cannot come nigh your consciousness. And what cannot enter your consciousness cannot express as your experience. You build your own spiritual universe by knowing the truth that makes you free. Now this infinite force, I am, opens like a flower. You'll find there's nothing that you're not. Please work with it. It'll be very rewarding. Next week we'll have two Infinite Way classes. There'll be one in Santa Cruz. You can ask Muriel West about it next Sunday, and there'll be one here. Those of you who are near there will be happy to know there's a tape group going to be up there too, and again you can ask Muriel West about that. If any of you hear of other tape groups that you want me to mention, please tell me. Thanks very much for being with us.